everybody. Welcome back. A few announcements. The midterms have been graded. If you haven't seen your grades, you can find them on Sakai under grades. I made a separate file for midterm grades. So if you go on Sakai, you look at grades, you're going to see two files there. You're going to see the clicker grades and you're going to see the midterm grades. And I, you're going to be, if you click on your midterm grade, you're going to be able to see how many points you got for each problem. Everything was graded out of 10, so for each problem you got 10 points, and the sum of all the points was 100, so that was the maximum score, and quite a few people got 100, which is really nice to see, but I was expecting higher grades, I guess, overall, but that's okay. Homework 5 is out. I posted it on Sakai. It's due 2 weeks from today. November 22nd, which is right before Thanksgiving. Also, there will be no class on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I think that's part of the Thanksgiving break deal. And our final is on December 16th, the first day of finals, at 8 o'clock in the morning. I know. All right, so, you know, drink a lot of coffee or something. Any questions? Any questions about the midterm or midterm grade or, yeah? The final is going to be in this room, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah?
Is the final cumulative?
The final is cumulative. It's going to be the same format, open notes.
10 questions.
20 questions. 10 are going to be the material for the midterm. So if you have any questions on the midterm, make sure you come to office hours. Make sure you ask them. All the questions in the final will be questions from homework. So if you have done your homework and there's a problem that you got a small grade on or you didn't get enough points on, make sure you understand all those problems. There will be a review session. There's going to be a sample final, the same as the sample midterm. Only probably this time, the sample final, the actual final is going to be exactly like the sample final, the same exact problems with different numbers. So understand the problems on the sample final. Yes, I know, some people are very disappointed, but even with this format, people don't get high grades. Yes?
The final
will be open notes. Same exact deal. Any other questions? Everything is 25%. Midterm is 25%. Final will be 25%. Homeworks are 25%. And attendance is 25%. So also, if you have any questions about clicker grades, make sure you email Eric. Get those solved. We're going to update them soon. Okay? If Eric doesn't answer, email me. And so on. If you're worried about anything, if you don't, you know, keep quiet. Come talk to me. Email me. It's going to be a little late after the final to have, you know, complaints or worries or whatever. Okay? Yeah.
Under what category is the quiz question?
It's under grades. What's the
top? I mean, like, 25%.
Attendance. That's attendance.
Is it part of attendance?
Yeah.
Does it matter what grade you get?
Doesn't matter what. So 25% of the grade is made out of the clicker question grade.
Okay.
Which I will probably curve. By curve, I mean I'll take the highest grade on clicker question is going to be the maximum grade. So if everybody got, let's say, if the highest grade on clicker question is 98%, I'll make the 90. I'll add 2% to everybody. So that the highest grade is 100. Okay? Any other questions? Okay, so now you have an idea of what the exam is, and you shouldn't have any surprises in this class anymore, except the material that we're going to cover, which is a little, to be honest with you, the material for the final is a little harder than the material for the midterm. So, yeah. Anything else? All right. I'm going to move on. Let's do some clicker questions. Okay, so this question is, well, first of all, make sure your frequency is set. Again, I'm going to say this because I have two problems of two people. Make sure when you click that the light is green. Red is not okay. If you see a red light, raise your hand. Okay? So here's the problem. You have a building that is N stories high. And you have to deliver packages, one package for each floor. So here's how you do it. So this is me, right? I can only carry one package at a time. So I have the packages at the bottom of the building, and I have to carry one package at a time. The first package I take to the first floor, the second package I take to the second floor, and so on. The nth package I take to the nth floor. For each package, I have to come back downstairs to the first floor and grab the next package, go up to the, let's say for the third floor, I have to go all the way down, I have to go up all the way to the third floor, come back down, and so on. How many stories do I have to walk? And the options are A, big O log N, B, it's big O of N, C, it's big O of N log N, D, it's big O of N squared, E, it's big O of 2 to the N. Please don't talk to each other as much as possible. Second questions are theoretically individual questions. I'll stop at 2:30. You count the stories walking up and walking down. Total number of stories. Stopping in 5? No? All right, I'll give it more 30 more seconds or more. I'll stop at 3. People need more time? Okay, stopping it in 5 seconds. Stopping. Okay. So, let's how many stories do we walk to deliver the first package? Two, right? One up, one down. How many stories do we walk to deliver the second package? So we have, the first package is on, let's say that we have, okay. What did I say? I carry the first package to the first floor. So for the first floor, how many stories do I have to walk? The first floor is the ground floor. Are we going to use European buildings or are we going to use the American buildings? Okay. European starts with 0, 1, so the first story is the second story, actually. The first story is the second. Okay, so where's the ground? Are we going to say this is the ground, like that? this is me, and this is the building. I'm very tall. How many stories do I have to walk to take the first package, to deliver the first package? Okay, two. I carry the first package to the first floor and return to the bottom. All right, so this story is more like
you don't know what n is. If n was 100, you might be able to count it. But even when n is 100, you can just use the formula, and that makes it easier. It's 50 times 101, which is much faster compute than adding all those numbers up. Any other questions? Okay, what about this one? This one is, I have a cart, and I can take all the packages with me. So when I deliver the packages, I put them all in the cart, and then I walk up the stairs and deliver the first package on the first floor, the second package on the second floor, and so on. How many stories do I have to walk? That's again, A, big O of log n, B, big O of n, C, big O of n log n, D, big O of n squared, E, big O of 2 to the n. Stop at 2. Yeah. because you have to move on to the next building.
No, over your fast packages.
I'll stop at 2. Five more seconds. Stopping. Okay. Majority was the right answer this time. So let's see what
happens here. Well, I grab all the packages and I go all the way up, right? So I walk up one story, I deliver the first package. I walk up the second story to the second floor, I deliver the second package. Third floor, third package. So the nth floor, end package. How many stories is that? How many stories have I? So I have to walk to deliver all the packages. End story. And then I have to walk all the way back. What is that a big O? A big O. The 2 to the end. Anybody want to tell me how they came up with that? Yeah. N times N plus 1 over 2. Why was it? Did you use that because you're summing up all the stories? All the floors? Okay. So that gave you what? N squared?
No, I had. I talked about the N over 2N.
Okay. So what did that give you? N?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I was just curious about the 2 to the N because a lot of people got that answer. I was just curious how you got it, but. Alright. Any questions? Okay, so last time I lectured, we talked about decision problems on lists. And we said that, and that's what we did on during the scratch lab too. And we said that there's a big class of problems that just say, take a list and ask a question about the list, and then you can answer yes or no. You ask a yes-no question, and then you can answer that yes-no question by, you know, checking if that list fulfills a certain condition, or... do you remember some of the problems that we did last time about lists? We had clicker questions, and I was giving you guys a list, and you were trying to figure out if something was happening or not. It was A was yes, and B was no. What examples did we give? I know it was a long time ago. Yeah.
Like if a certain number appeared in the list.
Yeah, if a certain number appeared in the list. Anything else? Yeah. If what was divisible? We did the sum, right? Yeah. We did it, whether the sum is divisible by 5 or not. The product is divisible by 5. We had if the max is a certain number, and so on. And so we saw that some problems are more difficult than other problems, and other problems are easier. And so we have this concept of easy problem or hard problem. Today, we're going to continue with the median. So the median is an assorted list. What's the number in the middle, right? When you guys take an exam and the professor sometimes gives you the stats back, they say what the median was. So you have an idea, the median and the average are kind of connected sometimes.
So if your grade is bigger than the median, you know that you're in the first half of the class. If your grade is smaller than the median, you know that you're in the bottom half of the class in terms of that exam. So the question can be, is the median equal to a certain number x? And so given a list of numbers and the number x, you can answer, you can try to answer that question. So let's take a list and ask the question if the median is 45, and you guys can click yes, A for yes, and B for no. Are you ready? Let me start this. That's your list. A is yes and B is no. Yeah. Yeah. What's that? However you want to answer the question, solve the problem. Any method is okay, as long as it is the right method. Right now it's 50-50. Stopping at 10 after 2. Five more seconds. Stopping. All right. How did you do it? So you sorted the whole list?
Not all of it, just to the 10th place.
Just up to the 10th place. So how did you do that? You basically sort the list. You kind of broadcast sort list. Let's say you have a subroutine that sorts your list. And after you sort the list, you set I to the index of the middle of the list. So what's the index of the middle of the list? So in our case, we had 19 elements in the list. You do 19, length of list is 19 plus 1 is 20 over 2 is 10. So that's the position of your median in the sorted list. And then you say item I of list for 2 seconds. And then if item I of list, which is the median, if that's equal to x, then you say yes. If not, then you say no, right? So that's the straightforward approach. Another faster way was you take the smallest element of the list, the minimum, and you know that that's the smallest number in the list. Then you take the second smallest, the third smallest, and so on.
and you only sort basically half of the list, and then you see if the tenth number is equal to the median. The fastest way, actually, is based on the observation of, okay, so this is the classical way, right? You have a list. The question is, if the median is a certain number. Let's say, is the median 11? So in the sorted list, you can actually see that the median is actually 11. But then if you ask the question, how many elements in the list are smaller than 11? If I ask you guys a question, what would you answer me? How many? 3. What about bigger? Also 3. So this means that in the sorted list, there's equal number of numbers that are smaller and bigger than the median, right? But that property stays true even if the list is scrambled. So even in the unsorted list, there's always going to be equal number of numbers that are smaller and bigger than the median, right? Because the numbers don't change. And so one way to test if a certain number is the median is just counting how many elements are smaller than, in our list, 45, how many numbers are bigger than 45, and in the case of our list before, 9 numbers were smaller than 45, and 9 numbers were bigger than 45, which means that 45 was the median. So this is if you have 19 numbers, you know that the median is going to be the 10th number in the sorted list, and so you count the numbers that are smaller than X, which let's say that number is L, and the numbers that how many numbers are equal to the median, which is E, and then you basically have a formula that kind of if the number of numbers that are smaller is equal to numbers and numbers that are bigger, then your median is that number. What about this list? Is the median 150? Okay, let's see. How many numbers are smaller than 150? So we have 22, 64, 18, 123. So that's 4 numbers, right? How many numbers are bigger than the median? Well, 2. So that means that the way this list looks like if it was sorted is 4 numbers, then 150, then 2 more numbers, right? So what does that mean? What does that say about the median in relationship to 150? It's definitely smaller than 150. So another decision problem on this can be, is the median smaller than 150? If I ask that question, how are you going to do that? How are you going to solve that problem? I give you a huge list and ask you the median smaller than 150. How would you do it? Exactly. So if the number of numbers that are smaller than the number I give you, if that's bigger than the number of numbers that are bigger than the number I give you, that means that the median is going to be smaller than the number that I give you. That's easier than sorting the list, which is a very time-consuming process. 19 numbers is pretty hard to sort. If there's 100 numbers, that's going to be even harder. But this is the fast way to do the median. So the answer to this question is no. So let's try it this time. The question is the median 47? I'm going to start this. stopping at 120? Stopping? All right. Okay, so what's happening in this list? How many numbers are smaller than 47? Strictly small. Then we have 47 and 47. And how many, what's the total number of numbers in the list? How big is the list? 19. So how many numbers are here? Okay. So that this is a total of 9, right? So the median is actually right here. With 9 and 9. Okay? So I want you to notice that this time went much faster than last time. I think last time I stopped at 3, 2, something. And this time, you know, you guys were able to do it way faster because you didn't have to sort it. You just have to count a whole bunch of numbers. We also talked about, again, last time, about the sum. If the sum of the numbers is divisible by 5. And we said that there are a whole bunch of different methods. The straightforward scratch code that I showed just sums up all the numbers, does the mod 5 operation on them, which gives you the remainder of a number when you divide it by 5. If that remainder is 0, then you can say that the sum is actually, you know, is divisible by 5. If it's not 0, it's not divisible by 5. There's a few shortcuts that we saw. One is that you know that a number is divisible by 5 if it ends in 5 or 0, and so you can only sum up the numbers that are not divisible by 5 and see if that sum is actually divisible by 5 or not. Another thing that we did was the fastest way was to just keep add up the digits, the last digits that were not equal to 0 or 5. If that sum is a number that ends in 0 or 5, we have a number that's divisible by 5. And that's very fast to do. We're not going to do that one. The product, if the product is divisible by 5. So that one we just said, do you remember what the fastest way was? Yeah. Okay, so, yeah. Exactly. Right, so it's enough that one number in the list, no matter how big the list is, one number is divisible by 5, makes everything divisible by 5. So if you get something like this list here, we can just run through the list. The first number divisible by 5 that we see, we stop and we just say yes. So it's actually going through the list. Just going through the list. And so there's a lot of research in computer science about what is the method that's better. So, you know, we saw in the previous slide a whole bunch of different methods to solve the same problem. We had at least 2 methods to solve the median problem, right? One is sorting, taking the middle, and that's the median. The other one is just counting. Some are faster than others. We have a whole bunch of methods to solve the product problem, right? We can multiply all the numbers together, divide by 5, or we can just look for one number that is divisible by 5. So how do we know which method is better than other methods? How do we come up with methods that are better than other methods? And how do we know if one method is better or faster than the other method? And so when we get a problem, we use the song growth. The song growth rate. Remember when we looked at how much do the number of syllables in a song grows with the number of verses? It turns out that problems in real life, problems that we computer scientists deal with, have the same kinds of patterns. And so we're going to talk a little bit about problems now in terms of big O of n and big O of log n and all those classes of complexity. So remember the song growth rates were, we had songs that were had a linear growth rate, which was big O of N. And you're going to have songs in the homework. You have to figure out what they are. If the all the verses are approximately the same size, you have it's a linear growth rate. If the each verse adds to the previous verse a constant number, approximately a constant number of syllables, that is a quadratic song. That's big O of N squared. Like the old McDonald's song. Each verse introduced a new animal. You had songs that are look like linear, but there's counting involved, and those are N log N, and so on. And this is how, it's kind of a visual of how those syllables, the number of syllables grows. So we can apply the idea, the same idea, on algorithms, on methods of solving problems. So we're going to start with the sock sorting problem. Let's see how, we kind of talked about those methods of sorting socks, and we had an intuition about which one is better and which one is slower. But let's see how we do the analysis in terms of N and things like that. So remember the sock sorter A was saying that you have a basket of socks, and you have, let's say, 5 pairs of socks or 10 pairs of socks. And what you do is you grab a sock from the basket, you grab a second sock. If they match, you make a pair. If they don't match, you put them both back in the basket, and you continue this process. And we all decided that this was going to be a slow process. But let's see how slow it actually is. As the number of pairs of socks in the basket grows. So let's say you have 50 pairs of socks, and you grab the first pair. What's the probability of a match? Like when you grab a second pair, what's the probability that this sock will match this sock? How many socks do you have left in a basket? You have 50 pairs of socks in the beginning. How many is that? How many socks is that? Assuming we all have two legs, 100. Okay, good. Yeah. 50 pairs of unique socks. Yeah, like 50 unique pairs of socks. They're 50 colors. Okay. Okay. So when I grab one sock, when I grab a blue sock, what's the probability of when I reach in the basket? What's the probability of grabbing its pair? How many are left? 99. So how many, what's the probability of a match? Okay, good. Okay, so, and we also talked about the fact that if one event has a probability, how many times on average do I have to repeat the experiment to get that event to happen on average? Right, so it's 1 over p, right? So reverse the probability. So how many times do I have to repeat this to, on average, to get the first pair of socks matched? You said it. Just reverse the probability. So on average, I need 99 tries before I have the first pair of matched socks. How many times do I need to reach in the basket in 99 trials? No, 99 tries. How many times do I grab? I reach in the basket for one try. So I reach in the basket, I get a sock. I reach in the basket, I get a sock. They don't match. Put them both back. I reach in the basket. They don't match. Put them back. Twice, right? For each try is I have to reach in the basket twice. So how many times do I can reach in the basket to match the first pair? If I have 99 tries. Well, 2 times 99, that's on average 198 times before I make the first pair. Does that make sense? Questions? Because we're going to move to, yeah.
Why was it 2 times again?
Because you each try you have to go and reach in the basket twice. So, because you put them both back, right? You put both socks back, and one try is grab a sock, they don't match, put them back. That's one try. The second try is grab a sock, match, they don't match, put them back. So you have 99 tries, so you need 198, reaching in the basket 198 times. Okay, let's move to N now. Let's say you have N pairs of socks. How many socks is that?
2N.
Thank you. All right, so I grab a sock. How many socks are left in the basket?
2N minus 1.
What's the probability of a match?
1/2N-1.
How many tries on average do I have to do before I match the first pair of socks?
2N minus 1.
That is how many reaches into the basket? Okay, good. This is better. You guys like N better than 100. Okay, so that's 2 times 2N minus 1. Okay? Now, how many... So let's say I make the first pair. How many socks do I have left?
2N minus 2,
right? Because I made a pair. I had 2N socks. I made the first pair, 2 socks. I have 2N minus 2 socks. When I grab the next sock, right, how many socks do I have left in the basket?
2N minus 3, right? I have 2N minus 2, minus 1, 2N minus 3.
What's the probability of the match?
1/2N minus 3.
Right. So that's 2N minus 3 tries before I make the second pair of socks. So that's reaching in the basket 2 times 2N minus 3. Okay? So I continue doing this. Let's say I have 3 pairs of socks left. That's 6 socks, right? I grab one. I have 5 socks left. The probability of a match is 1/5. On average, 5 tries before I make the second to last pair. So for which I need to reach in the basket 10 times. The second to last pair, I have 4 socks, grab one, 3 socks in the basket, probability of a match is 1/3, 3 times on average before I match the second to last pair of socks. And then the last pair, that's 6 times reaching the basket. For the last pair, I just have 2 socks, I only need to reach in the basket twice, because that's the only thing that's left. So let's make the total now. How many times do I need to reach in the basket? What was the first pair? Do you remember what the number was? Probably not. I don't blame you. It's 2 times 2N minus 1. Okay? For the second one, it was 2 times 2N minus 3. Dot, dot, dot. When there's 3 pairs left, we had what? We had 5 tries before, we make that pair, 10 times on average to reach in the basket for when there's 3 pairs left. When there's 2 pairs left, we had 3 tries to reach in the basket 6 times. For the last pair, we reach in the basket twice. Okay? Now we have to add them up, and that's our total. It's 2 + 6 + 10 + ... + this + this. And that's after you do a whole bunch of math. Maybe I won't go over the math, but you get 4 times n + 1/2 - 2n. And what's that a big O of? Big O of n, A big O of n, B big O of n log n, C big O of n squared, D big O of n squared log n, E big O of log n. I'll stop at 1. UN. Okay? Getting ready to stop? Stopping? Okay. So let's do the math.
So this is what? It's 2 times n squared plus n minus 2n, which is 2n squared plus 2n minus 2n, 2n squared.
Okay? All right. Any questions? So this is, as the number of pairs of socks grows, this function grows like n squared. It grows a lot. It's a pretty bad algorithm, right? If you have 10 pairs of socks, that's going to take 200 reaching in the basket. That's a lot of times. Well, what about the other ones? So that's that triangle kind of picture, which is a quadratic growth. So socks order C, what it did was you were reaching in the basket for a sock. When you were reaching for the second one, if they did not match, you're just putting back the second one, and you are holding on to the first sock. And so you're just grabbing, the second sock until you got a match. So that was a little better, but it's the same. If we went over the math, there's actually this 2 goes away, and it's only n squared. But it's the same, they go. So right, constants are not that important. We kind of ignore them. So it's still a quadratic algorithm. What about sock sorter B? So sock sorter B, what it said was you had a surface, and you could use that surface to help you sort your socks. You were grabbing a sock, and when you were grabbing a sock from the basket, you were checking on the table to see if you had the matching pair. If you had the matching pair, you grabbed the pair, you made a pair, and you're done with that. If you didn't find the matching sock, you would just put the sock on the table. And so, how many times do we need to reach in the basket? Does everybody understand this algorithm, how this method works? So there's a quicker question about it. So should I go over it again? So when you grab a sock, you either make a pair with it, or if the matching sock is on the table, or you put it on the table. Yeah. No. When you first start, you take the first sock. Is the matching on the table? No. Right. You just put it on the table. You grab the second sock. Is the matching on the table? Yes or no? Okay? Okay. So what if you have n pairs of socks, which is 2n socks, in a basket? How many times do you need to reach in the basket to match up all the socks? Is that A 2n times? Is that B 2n plus 3 times? Is that C 2n squared plus 3 times? D log of 2n plus 3? E, in the worst case, it could be an infinite number of times. Stop at 1:30.
Stopping in 3. Stopping. Yeah. Okay, good. So, the trick about this method is that you never put a sock back. When you grab the sock, you don't put it back. So you don't have to grab it twice, right? So the amount of times you reach in the basket is exactly equal to the number of socks all the time. Okay? What is that a big O of? Remember, it's 2n. It's a big O of A, big O of n, B, big O of n log n, C, big O of n squared, D, big O of n squared log n, E, big O of n log n. Stop at 1. Big O of n is growing much slower than big O of n squared. So for a big number of socks, this sock order B is going to be better, faster, less reaching in the basket time than sock order A. Much faster. So the way we computer scientists design methods, algorithms, is by trying to optimize something. In this case, it was trying to reach in the basket as few times as possible, right? Let's say that we're very fast at everything, but reaching in the basket is very slow for us. Let's say we're sore or something. We ran a marathon and lifted a lot of weights and our arms hurt. What about if we wanted to find the best way to the airport? If you wanted to ride to the airport, what would be some ways to some things to optimize? What would you be looking to? You know, you could choose a method or a way that would optimize what? Or when you take a trip, what are you trying to, you know, Google Maps or MapQuest give you a whole bunch of options. What are some things that you might try, might be looking for in a trip, on a trip? Yeah. Shortest amount of time is one. Shortest distance, they might be different, right? Because the shortest distance might be something that's, you know, a very traffic-heavy highway. Yeah.
Minimize toll roads.
Toll roads. That's a good one. I like that one. What else could we Yeah. Gas mileage. Right. We don't want to, you know, use our car too much or something. Okay. What if we had all the money in the world? What criteria might we want to use? Yeah. What's that?
Turn on the red light screen.
That's a good one too. I like that one. That's if you have all the time in the world. Okay? Right. So those are, any other ideas? No? Okay. Right. So we might want to minimize time. We might want to minimize money, gas. There's all kinds of things like, You might have restrictions, you might be a truck, and so you might not be allowed to use certain roads, and so on. And that's the same idea in all the methods. When we use a method, we might want to maximize or minimize certain things. For example,
If you have all the memory in the world, you're going to try to find methods that are faster. But when people program on cell phones are very, the hardware is very limited, and so you might not have as much memory. So for example, with the algorithm that use extra memory, like the SOX order B, use an extra space, the table, the bed, whatever it was, you might not have that kind of space. So algorithms for cell phones, methods for, when people implement stuff on cell phones, they actually try to minimize different things than people who have all the space or the memory in the world, right? If you have a very, very small computer, you're going to try to have as the smallest amount of operations that you can get, and so on. And so that's the same for us. Let's look at another different kind of class of problem. Let's try to introduce it by doing this. This is a little bit of a more simpler problem. And this problem says, if you have a list, is there a pair of numbers in the list that sums up to X? So you're given a list of numbers, a number X, like 86, and the question is, are there two numbers in the list that sum up to 86? Let's try to do this one. So here's your list, and the question is, can you find two numbers in a list that sum up to 86? A is yes and B is no.